Missouri, Cora corrected, pulling her laptop from the beat-up leather bag she was never without. Homer, Missouri, to be precise. After we find this guy, do you think things will go back to normal? Foster paused, chewing the inside of her cheek. Since her adoptive father, Dr. Rick, had died in a boating accident 5 years before, she and Cora had developed their own little routine at home in Portland. Oregon, not Maine. Who wanted to go to Maine? But Foster's opinion that the West Coast was in fact the best coast wasn't the point. The point was that her life had been an unending, stressful, semi-dirty, though not in the good, sexy way, road trip ever since Cora had sold Dr. Rick's fertility clinic one long, long year ago. Since then, not one single thing had been normal, and Foster desperately wanted her life back, her home back. Foster felt Cora's knowing eyes on her, and she met her adoptive mother's worried gaze, adding hastily, "Or as normal as they can be? We'll see. Now quit fussing. I need to concentrate, and you're giving me a headache." Mumbling to herself about bothersome children, Cora refocused on her laptop and massaged her jaw absentmindedly. "You really should go see a dentist. With all the chocolate you eat, you probably have a cavity the size of some giant moon crater. Or maybe it's your wisdom teeth." Contemplatively, Foster drummed her fingers against her knee. "No, I guess you're too old for wisdom teeth. What about Foster? Hush!" Foster obliged, holding her breath, willing silent the questions surging behind her closed lips. But she couldn't hold. Not for long. Not with Cora. With the rest of the world not talking was no problem. Actually, she preferred it that way, and she was pretty sure it made her come off a wee bit bitchy. Well, probably a lot bitchy. But that was only if she went off of what other people told her about herself, and she'd tried never to care about that. Before she even realized she was speaking, the levee had broken, and words rushed out of her mouth. "Why are we here anyway? No one stops in Tornado Alley unless they have a death wish." Thunder cracked, rattling the thin glass of the cheap wall sconces. "See? I told you. I mean, that would have been perfect right on cue like that if it wasn't so freaking ominous," Foster said, slinging her backpack over her shoulder as she headed toward the door. "Let's get out of here." "Calm down, child." Cora's tight dreads skimmed her shoulders as she shook her head. "There's a hospital just up the road a ways. Saw it when we drove in." She took a deep breath and kneaded her left shoulder in the same automatic way in which she massaged her jaw, almost like the action was as necessary yet thoughtless as brushing your teeth. "I know they'll have a basement. And if this storm whips up a tornado, we'll head over there. Until then, sit down. Your teenage angst isn't helping me get through this any faster."
"It's not angst," Foster murmured, picking at the plastic faux wood finish of the table. "I just thought we'd be doing something cooler for my birthday. I only turn 18 once. I wanted it to be special."
She pooched out her bottom lip and batted her impossibly long eyelashes. Cora glanced up at her and snorted. "Try again." She turned her attention back to the computer, her deep henna eyes reflecting the brightly lit screen.
"What if we can't get to the hospital in time because of the wind and the hail and the rain and whatever?"
Cora sighed. "Every thunderstorm does not produce a tornado. If it did, there'd be nothing left of the middle of the country.
Like there's anything here now.
And look." She tossed her backpack onto the table and dug through its unorganized contents.
"Storms have been changing, especially major storms, and I can prove it. Check this out."
Peeling off a crusty ketchup packet, she handed Cora a wad of crinkled papers.
"And what am I supposed to do with that?"
Her thick eyebrow lifted with the question.
"It's research. For that science project you gave me, I chose weather patterns. All the other options were ridiculous, like breeding gnats. I'm not some insect sex voyeur, and no one wants more of those."
So you